for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Midwinter Family Camp Meeting, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Carl Fox of Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, is the minister.
I'm a horse and buggy preacher. They're always fastening things onto me. Praise God. I like my grandfather was a, he put up his crops in North Dakota, northern Minnesota. And then when the weather was so bad, people couldn't go anywhere, he went out and he would go out to where there was a old school building or something, build a fire and wait for God to bring people in. And he would minister. And I thank God, you know, we talk about generational curses, generational blessings. Hold on to the generational blessings, folks. Let's get rid of the generational curses, okay? But I want you to know the harder the devil throws things at you, the greater the victory that is before you. If you don't turn aside, and some of you know me and you're here anyway, but last time I was here, I guess it was May or something, and
Memorial Day,
okay. And anyway, I believe I'd shared with you how we do a work in Romania and Eastern Europe with the Lord's grace and mercy. But anyway, how the government has stole our 60 children, and they literally just took them. They passed a special law, we found out after I got over there. They had passed a special law where I was supposed to pay taxes for my employees. You know what the percentage was? 100%. So they said, if you give us $40,000, now this is really stretching it. You talk about these, I hope the IRS never talked to them because they have a special math. You can have your children back. I said, they're not mine, they're God's. Then they came back and they said, well, for $20,000. I didn't even answer them. They took the kids away. The ones that fought were handcuffed. These children were really frightened because about 18 months before that, the Secretary of State of Romania, the United States went to Romania, or Attorney General, and told them if you're going to be part of the EU, you know, the electrified Europe, whatever you want to call it, but if you're going to be part of that, you got to do something with these street children. One night the army came into Bucharest. Bucharest is a big city. It's about 4 million people. And over 5,000 kids were captured, never seen again. They knew how to do that because they'd done the same thing with the dogs about a year before. And these children were never seen again. Well, our children, when the police and the army came in to get them, fought for their lives. And so many of them were handcuffed. Some of them were thrown into juvenile jail. It was a lot of hard times. And I got to tell you, this boy cried a bunch. And I was mad. It was a good thing it wasn't real handy to get over there because I just started a new war. You know, God can work with wild men, too. He works with me, you know. But and he knows how to calm my heart and soul. But, you know, in spite of all that, I went over there in August, and they refused me to see the children. Well, through a little blackmail, I got to see a little handful of the kids. And you got to know I've been through a lot with these kids. These children came off the streets. They didn't know Jesus Christ from a turnip. And not only did they get born again, but nearly all these kids were tongue-talking children, okay? I mean, they were full of the Spirit of God. They had gotten a reputation that even the evangelical churches around there that didn't believe in healing would sneak over to have these kids, especially the girls, pray for them because they'd get healed. These kids didn't know any different. That's what we taught them. See? They didn't know any. No religion had got to them yet. But anyway, so now they're all in state orphanages. And it's illegal to even say the name Jesus. And they'd be punished severely. And yet, see, through hard times, that's a hard time, you know. I can't convey to you how heavy Sheila and my heart were. We cried out to God. I tell you, we cried out to God. I accused him of betraying me. I felt that way. I might as well say it. You know, come on, let's not be phony. If you're going to be, don't be lukewarm, folks. If you're going to get cold, all right? You're lukewarm, you're going to become God puke. That's what you do and you spew it out, right? Okay, I talk pretty straight. I talk to those kind of people all the time. But the bottom line is that you got to be, a believer is somebody that believes what they believe. Christianity is not a religious experience. When it is, it's not Christianity. Christianity is a family. And we have a father. And we have a brother, Jesus Christ, that paid it all. It's about relationship. And if we stay in relationship, we did. We were over there. We took care of some legal matters. They're still fighting us. They're a communist country. They don't call themselves that. Our nation don't call us that. And yet everybody that's in office, we're former communists. And through communism, the Greek Orthodox Church rules. The state religion. And there's a lot of people that were killed, slaughtered, tortured, and imprisoned. And they were behind it. See, it wasn't the Romans that were responsible for Jesus' arrest and trial and taken to the cross. It was the religious people. We got to be careful, folks, that we don't become those religious people. All right? But if you'll just keep your eyes focused on the Lord, because what happened with those children is they're hungry. Those state orphanages does not have, that's a bankrupt nation. It's beyond bankruptcy. They don't have to feed these children. But they're doing what they were told because they were told if you can't be part of the EU and NATO unless you do something about these children. So they took our children because they knew some English. They were well-schooled, well-behaved. So they're the model that they want to show to the world leaders when they come in. And, you know, I could get, you know, start lawsuits and do all kinds of stupid things, but that doesn't do any good. You know, you're not going to bring the gospel in the courtroom. You know, this idea that we're going to fight to save our Constitution in the courtroom, folks, it's going to be saved when you open up this book, read it, and believe it, and tell other people about it. That's where it's going to be saved, all right? It's bottom line. It's what we do with the word we know. You all maybe know more Bible than I do, okay? Then you need to be doing it. That's all I can say, all right? I'm not Mr. Cool. I love the Lord. I don't have any place else to go. I tried all the rest of them places. But, you know, through those things, these children, what they're doing is we have a children's home, and the children come, our former children, they're still my kids, you know. When I was there in November, I got to see some of them. And I, you know, you talk about tears of joy and just loving on those kids. And anyway, these kids are bringing, they're coming there because they're hungry. Our grocery bill, food is so expensive in Romania that I don't know how people eat. You have no idea. Our grocery bill is horrendous. But God provides because we're not just feeding those kids that we have in the children's home, which is only 7 or 9, you know, back and forth. But we're feeding all these kids that are coming in hungry that we used to have, and they're bringing their friends, and these children are getting to know Jesus Christ. And just Christmas, what is it, Christmas morning here, so it was Christmas evening there, the telephone rings. I don't have it in my briefcase. There's a little card you can buy, and you can talk to America really cheap. You know, whoever dreamed this up, it's awesome because it's always been $5-6 a minute. If you got a hold of a certain card, it was 90 cents a minute, but they come up with that. So the children that are at risk, we made sure they have this card so they can call for help. But anyway, I get a call, and the kids are getting to go, and a whole bunch of them had gotten out, and they were going to go Christmas caroling. Now, these kids got more problems in a week than you've had in your life, probably. But they love Jesus, see? And their friends, the numbers are growing. And why do you do what you do? Hopefully to win souls. See, honest folks, deliverance includes winning the lost to the Lord. That's the greatest deliverance. If you know, you get the Spirit of God in you, if you quiver and twitch the rest of your life, you're delivered. Right? Yeah, you can listen all you want. But the bottom line is, you're delivered because you are now have eternal life. See? See, did you know that we were born with eternal death? Did you know that? Read the Bible. See, we aren't like a dog. He dies and that's the end of it. Because the dog has a soul. Animals do. And they have life. A body. But see, we have spirit, soul, and body. And it's such a miracle. And quit being ashamed of Jesus. Talk about Him. It's such a miracle that you can go from having eternal death to eternal life. Think about it. What a privilege. And what is a privilege is when you go talk to somebody and it happens in their life. We have the ability to speak life into a dying world. And it's something to rejoice about. All right? I know life is not easy. I think, you know, we don't need to sit and share our miseries or spill my stuff out of my Bible. But I do that frequently. But, you know, we have more good than we deserve. And the Bible says giving thanks always. Crystal shared about the importance of praise and worship. It's very important, folks. It does not replace God's Word because this is life. But it prepares us. The benefit when we praise and worship God is then we can receive the Word. Okay? But there's a lot of other benefits to it. But all these ingredients are very, very important. And if you leave them out, if you're making a cake and you leave the flour out, what kind of cake are you going to have? Right? You got to have all the ingredients and they got to be the right ones. In New Mexico, we have an area called White Sands National Monument. That sand, you could take that and a cup of sugar and put them side by side, and to look at them, if they juggled them around, you may put the wrong one in your cake. And then we cut a nice piece of cake for Brother Glenn because we love him. And he takes a bite and say, well, what do you think? Well, Carl, it's really a good cake, but it's got too much sand, you know? Because he's not going to lie to me. But see, it's the wrong ingredient. Was my heart right? I wanted to give my brother a big old piece of cake. But see, if it's not the right ingredients. And in Matthew chapter 15, and this is Jesus speaking, and Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? He'd just given a parable, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to go through it. It's a reading assignment for you. Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever enters into the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. They defile the man. Folks, it includes you girls too. Okay? You're not getting off the hook on this one. All right? We have got to watch. You know, I couldn't tell you exactly what's been shared here, but I got a real good idea. Been some good meat. Not much milk around here. You know what I mean? It's meat. It's a meat place. Okay? And it's to get the results. Because, see, milk is for babies. We come here as God's children, but we also come here as men and women. And I know that you've heard a lot about watching what we say, right? You know, curses and blessings both start with words. God so depends on words. The whole world was framed with words. Okay? It is real. Words are real. It says that every idle word will be judged for. Whoa. Thank God we can go and repent. All right? But, you know, you go to the doctor and he says, well, you got cancer. That's bad enough. But if you accept that cancer and say, I got cancer, you just cursed yourself. See, he spoke a curse over you, and he's not a bad guy, okay? He may be a Christian. But when he declares that, you sign all kinds of papers before that doctor will touch you. You know, because we live in a society that's sue crazy. We got a lot of unemployed lawyers, you know? And so they're always advertise on TV. You know, if you got a quiver in your whatever, you know, call Mr. Sokolok or whatever his name is. You know, and he advertises. He's got a name like that, you know. They're just looking for things. And I don't blame the doctor for having these papers signed. But you have, by your signing that, gave that man authority over your life. So when he speaks, those are powerful words. And if you believe them, and if you don't, the Bible says take every thought captivity to Christ. Every thought. So when he says that that's cancer and, you know, it's a bad one, we'll try to save you. How much insurance you got? No. But he says, but I don't think you're going to live. Fact is, I'd really make things right between you and your maker. Well, every time you repeat that, you've enforced and reinforced those words. You gave the man the authority, and he's an expert in that field. Better than you are, you wouldn't bother to go to him. But he has spoken those words. And if you continually speak those words, you're just speeding up the process. You know, think about the account in the Bible about the Shunammite woman. Do you remember the Shunammite woman? She couldn't have children. The prophet came and he spoke and he said, next year you're going to have a son. It happened, see, because he spoke for God. You know, false prophets speak for God. It's the wrong one. But if you're going to speak for God, it better come to pass, right? Or be on your knees, right? Amen. Because we can blow it, but we better be on our knees. All right? But anyway, what happened is he's just a lad, and, you know, reading the Bible, I would guess he probably had a heat stroke, sunstroke, whatever they call them. But anyway, the kid had a terrible headache and died. Well, why didn't Mama pray for a kid? Why didn't Daddy? You know why? They didn't have the authority. See, in the Old Testament, the Spirit was upon some people. So that's why she'd get saddled my mule. And away she went. And she said, that's go fast, she told her servant. So she wasn't, you know, riding side saddle, I bet you. She was really moving that mule. But she's coming, and the prophet's on the hill, and he sends his assistant, Gehazi, and he says, go find out what the Shunammite woman wants. She didn't want to talk to him. You know why? He didn't have the authority. And so what did she say? All is well. Well, I've had people say that, well, she was lying and God still spared her son. No, she wasn't. She wasn't going to repeat the problem and make it worse. She says, all is well, and she just kept right on going, you know. And if Gehazi hadn't got out of the way, he'd probably have been prayed for by being stepped on by the mule, because she was going to get to where the results are. How determined are you to get your results? All right? If you want them, they're here. Don't be religious. Let's go for the promises of God. He promised them he'll do it. Well, we know the story. The boy got up. I think he sneezed 7 times. I had the bug I picked up in Romania. I count my sneezes, you know. I've never done 7. I got to 6 a while back, you know. But whatever that's worth. But that's man's number. Good Lord, give me another. No, I don't want to sleep. But I like the 7. But the point is that if you hold on to that which is evil, you're going to get it. See, John 10:10 says, a thief comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He knows his ministry, and he's more sold out to his ministry than we probably are. He knows the Bible better than we do. All right? We need to get serious. You cannot negotiate with steal, kill, and destroy. There's no way that you can make a deal with a liar and see it come to pass. He'll laugh right in your face. He says, well, you knew I was a liar. You're close enough to get the spitting anointing. But but see, we have to be careful about what comes out of our mouth, including the spitting. Huh? But the point is, folks, is that we have to be careful what we say. But it doesn't stop there. Because before we talk, we're supposed to think. Sometimes I wonder if we do. But we have to take every thought captivity. If I speak something, you think, right? If you speak something, it causes me to think. And we have to line that up. Part of taking the captivity to Christ, he just bug got you. Captivity to Christ is, what does the Word of God say? What does it say? And if you don't know, find out! And don't take man's word for it. Somebody, you go to him and he says, oh yeah, it means blah, 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 and three more blahs. Well, where is that? The first blah, huh? No. But, see, everything that you ever need to know, everything pertains to life and godliness is contained herein. And you can't have it because it's mine. No. I'll share it. See, we've got to line these things up. You know, sacred cows, that's my favorite hunting trip. I love to go out and shoot sacred cows. I don't know about you, I hate religion. And the amazing thing about it is that religious people hate me. And that's okay. At least they made a decision, right? You know, that's cold, right? That they're not in the lukewarm. But see, we have to lead every thought captivity to Christ. Because if we don't, then words of death come out of our mouths. Against ourselves, against one another. And we've got to be careful. See, because where does deliverance start? With salvation. Well, what does salvation bring us? It brings us different than in the Old Testament. You got Christ in you. See, right in you. It isn't on you that can be knocked off like King Saul. It's in you. That's what it says. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know what that means? He's with you. You know, all these doctrines about losing your Holy Spirit, bang, I'll shoot that one every time. There's so much Bible. How can you ever get a prayer answered if you don't even know if you're God's child? Come on. Let's throw away that doctrine. Let's get serious about being God's child because... Oh, boy, I could go a lot of places here, but... We are God's children, right? I came in. I don't remember who was preaching. I came in. I was just getting settled in. You were preaching this afternoon? And, you know, and when you did your deliverance prayer, you took through the new birth. See? Because that is where it starts. All right? Even if you're already a Christian, it don't hurt you to say it again. All right? But there are so many people that think because they went to confirmation or something that they're Christian. The Bible says what it takes. Just confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. In other words, you are Lord. And believe in your heart, way down deep inside, that God did raise him from the dead. That means you recognize this. He died. He paid for your sin. And when you hold on to that, the power of Satan is broken. And then from there on, the only thing that he can gain against you is what he can convince you with his lies and make you feel unworthy. But you know, we all go through unworthy times, and that's when we need each other. It's nice to have one another when we're praising, because it kind of drowns out the noise I make with your beautiful singing. But I can make joyful noise because it's in the Bible. But the thing about it is, you know, when we all got praising, we all got thinking about praising God. Things happen. Right? See? And we got together. See, because it says Jesus is head. We are the body of Christ. We are the church. You know, we need to correct our vocabulary. I go to such and such church. Give me a break. It's a church building. See? We are the church. We're the called out. You know, and that way we won't have prejudice because they go to this one. See, when we can recognize that we are God's child and we hold on to that, and then we recognize that our doctrines don't totally align, but who are we to judge somebody else's doctrine when chances are we got some that's sick too? Sorry. That's why we keep studying the Word, right? Boy, there's things I was sold out to at one time. Whoa! The Lord got a hold of me and he started shaking things loose. I didn't know if there was going to be anything left. You know, the things that you can learn in a cemetery. I mean, you know, that place. But I learned some good stuff, too. But I had to get the other stuff out of the way. Because, see, if you can hold on to the reality that it's Christ, it can't be Christ in you, the hope of glory. if you lost your Christianity, right? But see, the other tragedy is it can't be Christ in you, the hope of glory, if you don't believe what the Bible is saying. See, my definition of a believer is somebody that believes what they believe. That's the first step. Then you got to go check out what you believe in. But you got to believe it, see? We have got to hold on to what the Word of God says, because if we don't, religious junk comes out of our mouth. And it brings bad results. You know, in Romania, we love working with the gypsies. You know why? Everything's wrong. You talk about a bunch of messed up people. They need. And they grab a hole and they move forward. And some of them have to change everything in their life, except they go, you know, they breathe and they eat and have bowel movements and stuff like that. The body functions, but just about everything else is wrong. But when they see the power of the love of God, they're willing to change. There's a gypsy. I taught a small group of ministers that we ordained over there about raising the dead. First of all, you got to believe you can do it. You know, I failed more times than I've succeeded. But you know, the ones that I failed with didn't hurt them. They already were dead. Right? And if they're Christians, you can't blame them. Why should they want to come back? All right? But the ones that got up, they ain't never going to be the same. Right? Because they didn't get up sick. They got up healed. All right? But see, God is real. One of them was my wife Sheila's mom. I'm such a boring preacher. I'm preaching. They come visit our church, and boom, I seen her. She's dead. Boom, she flopped over on Sheila's father, and he kind of embarrassed him. He nudged her like that, and she about went off the chair. I just dropped my Bible and ran, and I motioned my associate. I didn't want everybody to know, but I ran back there, And I cast the spirit of fear out of the room. One woman got up running out screaming because she didn't want to let go of the spirit. But the spirit had to leave, so she went with it. But I got it out of the room, see? People are afraid to death. But anyway, what happened is we prayed for her. And she kind of went around a little bit like that. Boom. So I prayed. I knew there was nothing else that I could say. You know, the Lord and I had already talked it over. So my associate was a big, strong guy. I said, lay her over here on this couch. We had a couch along the side. So he laid her there, and everybody's looking. And I thought, well, what should I do? The Lord says, get back and finish what you were preaching. Can you imagine that? So I did. Well, Sheila had said to me, should I call 911? I said, honey, only if God tells you to. Oh, but you can be sued. No. But the bottom line is that God didn't tell her to call 911. But she had stayed out of the room, and I knew that Sheila was praying because she's got that habit pattern. But anyway, what happened was when we came back, you know, I'm just finishing the teaching, and Sheila comes in. She sits down by her mom, and she just laid her hand on her, and tears are flowing down. She laid her, you don't mind me touching you, do you? All right. God bless you, sir. Name of Jesus Christ. But Sheila just laid her hand on her mom, and her mom sat up, and she says, I'm okay, honey. See, and she's alive yet today. But see, if you don't do those things, you've got to, sir, you have life and death in your mouth. Okay? All right. Didn't have to even ask him. He said, I'll speak life. It's true with all of us. See, I like to tell Christians, you've got an atomic mouth. Be careful where you turn it. Turn it against the enemy. That's not turn it against each other. You know, there's nowhere in the Bible that says nuke your neighbor. Right? See, 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, now by the what? Faith, hope, and love. But which is the greatest? Love, see? Because you can do deliverance without love and you'll get exhausted. And they may not get delivered. You know, I watch these people that do deliverance around here and you just stay at it. You know why? You know, how can you do that? Because you got love in your heart. See, that's the key. You have love in your heart. You know, the day that we lost Irma didn't lose out. And we miss her. I know you miss Irma. And everybody in this camp that knew her, we miss her. Part of our hope is that one day soon we're going to see her. But you know, you didn't quit. You kept right on ministering, see? What an example to the rest of us. But I remember the word you told me. You said, Brother Carl, what else is there to do? See, and that's a reality, see? And this man spoke blessings into his own life. You know, and please, you know, remember to pray for him. You know, let's not forget to pray for our brother. You know, the mourning is a hard thing because they were one flesh. See, life is hard. And by our words, we can comfort one another to help us go through those hard times, too. You know, we just, you know, I remember that night. I'll never forget it, but probably in eternity. I mean, we rushed to get there. And then we get into the hospital, and there's this woman, totally crazy. Fear was just overwhelmed. Her child was dying. We thought, well, she has a greater need, you know. And so we ministered to her and got her calmed down. And then some of the family found her, and we turned her over to them. And in fact, this Francis Faye came along, too, and seen it. And then we got in there just as Irma went to sleep. I like to call it went to sleep, you know. But, you know, and I really had thought when we left, God says go. And I really thought when we left, I was going to go there, and if she was dead, she was going to get up. And if not, she was going to get up healed. And that was where my heart was. That's where Sheila's was. And the highway moved under our car real fast. I do have to admit that. But you know, and I went to pray for her. And you know what God told me? You know, and I hate to say those words, but it was what God had told me. He said, she don't want to come back. And I remember Crystal was there, Patty was there, you were there. I don't remember who all was there. But I looked right at you, Glenn, and I said, Glenn, I don't know why I got to say hard words like this. She don't want to come back. Right there, a man of God. So he grabbed the reality. You know, I mean, it's a privilege. There are men and there are women of God here. You know, and we all are there to help and comfort one another. What you sow is what you're going to get back. Let's be loving, let's be comforting, let's be building one another up. Because every one of us are going to have hard days. I'm not cursing you, okay? All right? We're all going to have, because we have an enemy. His ministry is steal, kill, and destroy. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But Jesus went on to say, he said, but it's the things that proceed out of our mouth. Let's speak blessings, okay? Speak blessings. Or shut up. So I'm speaking to Carl too, okay? Okay, but it says, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, and fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. Wow, do we want to get to that point? We need Jesus. We need him all the time. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defiles not a man. See, isn't that amazing? You know, if you bless the food that you eat, it don't even matter if it's got worms in it. Honest. We, with the gypsies, they know we love them because we eat with them. I had a guy with me one time, and he says, what kind of meat is this? I said, well, if we got a good day, it's pork. But don't ask me. I'm not sure. He said, do I have to eat it? I said, you got freedom of will to do what you want. But they had this big banquet. And we're at the head table, and everybody's waiting for us to start eating. And I said, no, you don't have to eat it, but if you don't eat it, they won't eat it. He says, Carl, that's not fair. I says, where in the Bible does it say life is fair? Right? I says, Phil, we just blessed the food. Don't you believe it? He says, yeah, I do. He says, but we just prayed for a man that was in agony with trichinosis. And by the way, God healed him. But he says, man, he says, this is raw pork. It was. He's poking the fork and there's just blood run out. And they're tough, you know. They can eat this kind of stuff, but see if it's blessed. So you don't have to be so worried about things, you know. Make sure it's blessed. But it's very important that we make sure that we speak blessings. Because we have that power and authority to speak blessings. And everything, all deliverance hinges on relationship. You know, I can ask those of you that have been doing it longer than me, isn't it true That knowledge is only a piece of it, right? Right? You studied all your life, but if you have no relationship with Jesus, it's just words on paper. That's exactly right, see? Because without Jesus, we're dead in the water. And there's a torpedo coming. Okay? You can't miss it. We need Jesus. You know, we used to sing a song when I was a little kid. We need Jesus. I can't remember the other words except the other thing came to mind. We need Him this hour. I remember when we'd sing that. I don't know if any of you remember that. But it was an awesome song because as a little kid, we'd sing this like around campfire. And the hair on the back of my neck would stand up, you know. Just the realization we need Him. Because, see, none of us are going to arrive at any success whatsoever. Because what you've done is past. See, now are we sons of God. All right? Now, see? And so when we do things, it's now. You know, you came here for healing. You came here for deliverance. You came here for support. Okay? It's now. Doesn't have to be tomorrow. It can be. But it can be now. Because I've studied the Bible a bit. I'm a student. I'll never, if I live another 100 years, be an expert. More than I can ever be an expert on. Maybe some of you can. I can't. But I'm a serious student, all right? But God's timing from everything I've learned is totally dependent on us. When you're ready for His goodness, it's waiting. Isn't that awesome? It really, because He showed me a picture one time, and I wish I would have looked on His face because, you know, it was a vision. And I get Him when I'm driving. And people say, I don't know if I want to ride with you anymore. I said, well, you can drive. But but the thing about it is that a vision happens in seconds. It takes you an hour to tell or a week, you know. But He showed me. And He told me, He says, Carl, I never sinned, and neither did my son. And He says, I am not caught in time. You are. Isn't that amazing? See, we need Him just because we're caught in time. How about being caught in a time of sorrow or sickness? He's not caught in it. And He can take and move us right past it. See, for God, it's not a heavy, hard, big deal. We're the ones because that nut that she's talking about, I was thinking about, it must be this thing covered my, you know, it's too thick sometimes. But if we can get past that, you know, your mind, your intellect, your brain is a vital organ, but it's not you. You can spend your whole life reading and studying about the life of Jesus and not accept Him. And when you die, everything you learned died. Isn't that amazing? When you die, that brain dies, it's gone. But see, you learn about Him and you accept Him. And all those things are eternal. See, we stepped into eternity in a great respect when we made Jesus our Lord. But Jesus and God have never lived in time. Jesus came in, I correct myself, He did. He came and He lived, you know, on this earth. You know, and His death freed Him from time. Isn't that amazing? You know, I don't understand what that all means, but I'll tell you one thing. When Jesus got up, He put time behind. See? And He's living in eternity. And Christ in you, listen to me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27, I believe. But Christ in you, the hope of glory, that portion that's in you is not caught in time. Christ in you is not sick. Christ in you does not have the problems. Okay? God did not put a little baby spirit in you and a great big one in Him. You know, God gave us a full measure. It's what we do with that spirit that's going to make the difference. And the mind is a vital organ, okay? But it's not you. You can't live without this thing. You can't live without your heart or your liver. But you're not your liver, right? And we're not our brain. So the challenge, one of the challenges we have with God's timing is our minds get in the way. Fact is, I've watched people get healed and their mind, Satan would use their mind to steal it. We were in Portland, Maine, two ladies came. There's a lot of healing in that wonderful church. But anyway, there's two ladies came forward. I mean, when healing was available, they came like they'd been shot out of a cannon. Both of them were really yellow. And they both had, one was hepatitis C. For the life of me, I can't remember the other one. But I prayed for them, and God gave me the same word for both of them. Go tell everybody what the Lord has done. Well, the first lady that got healed went and sat in the back, way in the back. You know, sometimes you better off get up front because you get in there and get it happening. But she came from the back, and she went back to the back. She told nobody. The other lady, she went right down. I got a new liver. God just gave me a new liver, brother. Did you hear? I got a new liver. And every time she said it, she's more full of fire. She went right through the church. And the religious ones, you know, that had sacred cows in their pasture, they say, tell him to be quiet. I can't hear nothing. I said, you need to hear that. You know? But anyway, she ran out of people. Guess what she did? And all the time, the other lady's sitting in the back turning yellower. See, because she defied God. It wasn't goofy old Carl that was speaking. God had told them to tell everybody what the Lord had done. Well, church got over, and we went outside. And church lasted a while because a lot of people were getting prayed for. But anyway, what happens, we got outside, and there's a basketball court, and there's excitement in there, and I kind of looked to see what was going on. Here's these kids that are about this tall, you know, big kids. And she's got all these kids from the neighborhood and everything. And she's in there, and she's telling about Jesus and about healing. And, I mean, these big old kids are bent way over. You know, I mean, you talk about, that's one of those pictures that are going to be in the portrait gallery in heaven, probably. But she stayed healthy. The other lady died. Was she healed? She was so healed that her skin color had changed. See, and yet she wasn't going to make a fool out of herself. Well, you know what? Before we accepted the Lord and we went out drinking, we really made a fool out of ourselves. Right? Of course, none of you ever done any stuff like that. You know, well, why can't we make a fool out of ourselves for a righteous cause? Why are we so concerned about what people will think? See, it's a serious thing that we do that. God called you to be a spokesman. You know, it's not just my job to go to Romania. It's all your job. Pray for us. Hey, says a buck once in a while if you got it. You know what? I'm not asking for your help. Send it to somebody else. That way you can't say I asked you for help. Because I want you to do what the Lord puts on your heart. But you know what? What you invest in. You know, we all know about investments, right? And you watch the stock market go, you know. All these things, you know, some people live by it. But the best place to make an investment is in things that will give you an eternal reward. The people that pray while we're over there in Romania, hey, we go over there, our lives are threatened. The police were looking for me to arrest me. God says, don't go there. Now, I don't know how much longer we're going to get to go there. But until, you know, well, Carl, you're not very diplomatic. You're right, sir. I talk about Jesus, okay? You don't like it? Well, Jesus is my Lord. You know, I'm not going to back down because that's why we're there. We're not there to be diplomats. But see, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, and if the day comes and we can't get in there, it's okay. Then I'll go somewhere else or help somebody still can sneak in. I don't know. But see, we invest in these things. You know, I hope everybody put something in when the plate was passed. You know why? Because you're investing in a good work. Huh? Well, they need to, yeah. But it's also a very wise investment. See, because it brings eternal rewards. You know, I have a friend that I brought him here the first time I came, a little redheaded guy, Larry Coker. He has a powerful deliverance ministry up in Kentucky. If you get up that way, I'll give you his address. But you know what he's doing? He goes to India. He goes 3-4 months at a time. He teaches deliverance. He gets about 200 ministers. And he teaches a deliverance ministry. I know another guy. He went to school with LL, I believe it was called, up in Canada. But there's another guy doing it in Budapest. A lot of people from Romania are going over there and are learning about deliverance. And it's a good thing, see? But, you know, and he was very blessed being here. He invests by praying for you guys. You know, because he knows that one of the problems you have, having been here so long, not only do you have a lot of established enemies, but you have the problem of becoming traditional. We all have that problem. And it's a battle, isn't it? Not to let tradition sneak in. And to keep that spirit fresh. You know? And see, having that relationship keeps that spirit fresh. You know? And one of the ways, invest, be praying for these guys. You know, Doctor, you're here now. You know? Remember him. Because he moved from the comfort zone in Kansas to right into the frying pan. We had people come to help us in our ministry, and after 6 months, they said, Brother Carl, we really love you, and we believe what you're doing, but we can't stand the heat. And I said, get out of the kitchen. You know, goodbye. Thank you for being here. But see, but that's not, doesn't make them bad. It wasn't their call. See? See, we need to support. And we're all going to do things a little different, all right? But it doesn't mean we're doing it wrong. Ephesians 4 says the unity of spirit and the bond of peace. There's nowhere in there is there anything about doctrine. And yet doctrine is built all these denominations, see? See, our doctrine, we got to strive to keep it to pure word. Now, I'm not here trying to shoot your sacred cows, but if one gets in my way, you know, it won't hurt my feelings. But the thing about it is that we have a God that loves us, and every one of you are precious and important. And it is God's will that you be delivered. And some of you came from a long ways away or from next door, I don't know, but you came here with the heart of being delivered. And don't be ashamed, you know, if you think, well, what are people going to think? Let me tell you about what people think, all right? They won't remember tomorrow what they thought tonight. Most generally, okay? So don't worry about it. But you came here to be delivered. You set it in your heart between you and the Father. Just like the Shunammite woman. She went to Elijah and she says, it was your ministry, it was your faith that we had that child. Now he's dead. Do something about it. See? She didn't say, oh, please. You know? I mean, she was firm about it. And you can firmly, it says, come boldly before the throne of grace. Yes. Nothing wavering. Yes. You know, that's what we need to do, is come boldly before, because the only reason you don't have every one of God's promises is because we got a faith. And he's not our enemy. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, every demon that gets cast out here, I call angels to be here to bind them and throw them into the abyss. In the name of Jesus Christ. You're not going to jump from one person to another. In the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority over the enemy. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Father, you made the promises. We expect them to come to pass because you are the God of truth. You have never lied, and you wouldn't have said it if you didn't mean it. Your word says that by Jesus' stripes, we was healed. Hallelujah, that's receive it. That's let loose of it. Quit trying to figure out. This doctrine of holiness is wonderful to be holy. They'll get you at that. But if you're spending all your time trying to figure out what your sin is, what's your Lord? Self. See, it's a touchy thing. See, relationship with you figured out quick. She has a PhD in that one. But no, you don't. I just realized what I said. No, I break that curse. See, that's a terrible thing I said. That's how easy it can happen. Because I've never seen, the way I've seen selfless, it's in you, it's been selfless, not selfish, okay? Anyway, where was I? Guess that's where I needed to go. But that's have expectations. That's have expectations for one another. All right? You know, that's quit accepting as norm the evil of the enemy. God's will is for his word to come to pass. 3 John 2 makes it real clear, my brothers and sisters. It says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. See, the issue, folks, is how is your soul prospering? Soul and spirit are not the same thing. For you Greek scholars, you know that, okay? It says your spirit, soul, and body. All right? We're talking, what's your soul? It's where you live. Amazing. You live in your soul. See, nephesh, soul, soul life. You know, probably it's happened already this week, where there's been some soul ties severed. Because, see, if your soul is being affected, that's where you live, and the prosperity of your soul is going to determine how much that you prosper and be in health, because it's as your soul prospers. Okay, that's what it says. I don't need to be a rocket scientist. It says that, okay? God's Word is simple. So that's work on clearing the clutter out of our souls. Right? That's what it's all about. And that's helping us. That's be fighting for, not with one another. You know, if there's something that I said that, you know, hit on one of your favorite doctrines, a little rough or something, you come talk to me, okay? You know, I love you. I wouldn't have drove all the way over here if I didn't love you. Honest. Maybe, because I love Glenn. Doctor, the rest of you. But, you know, I came because God says come. And I figured out, I'm sure glad I don't live in Texas. It takes too long to get across that state. Yeah? Huh? Yeah, well. But anyway, but God bless Texas.
Yeah.
And New Mexico. God bless America. God bless Arkansas. Isn't that what it's called here? Well, I looked at it and said, Arkansas. And they said, no, it's Arkansas. But that's another story. But God bless this state. Because this state has curses on it. Just like every state. See, that's why the Bible says we're supposed to pray for those kings over us. And these guys think they're kings. Did you ever notice that? You know, we used to have the liberals and the what's the other ones? Conservatives. Now we have the liberals and the socialists. I mean, look what's happened in 20 years. See? And we aren't going to win it any other way than this is the position of power is on the knees. Now, you could get on your knees and be driving, okay? Because it's where you're at in your heart. That's where it's at, see? But see, that's how we can change things. We need the freedom. You know, I've talked to people that spent years in prison just for being Christians. I had a little lady, she was about this tall, and we got them praying for her, she's about that tall. But for 14 years, they beat her to unconsciousness, broken bones and everything. Throw her in a nice cold cell and expecting her to die, and she wouldn't die. And anyway, they brought me to pray for a little, what's in the book, the other part about the little girl who had the curse on her for 2.5 years and cried 24 hours a day. When that curse was broken, out in the other room, there's an object about this big, I know by the debris in the room, and it blew up. It was a powerful curse. Not every time you break a curse is something going to blow up. But it did. But the thing about it is, this little girl's dancing and prancing. She's a 5-year-old little girl, full of joy. But then also, there's this little lady, and she'd gone through all this, and she's crying. She's speaking Romanian, and my interpreters interpret it to me. And she says, "Brother Carl, can you imagine how could anybody do what they asked me to do? They asked me to sign a paper that said Jesus was dead." Now, I ask you, and you don't have to answer out loud, because it humbled me, because I wasn't sure. I may have went ahead and signed it and then repented, you know. I'm an American, you know. Been taught the easy repentance sometimes. I don't know what I'd do, and neither do you, because you haven't been there, okay? But God bless this woman. She could not think of anything to sign a piece of paper like that. But I had to really grab my mind, because I didn't know what I would do. It made me feel pretty unworthy. But see, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, that gets you past that. And I just, every thought, captivity to Christ, remember? And that's exactly what I'd done. I prayed for this little lady, and she kept getting bigger and bigger, and the snapping and the popping and the twisting and the turning. We walked out together. I had a little girl, she's holding on my finger, holding on to her grandma's finger at the other hand, and she's skipping. I can't do the skippy kip like kids. You know, kids skip and stuff. She'd bounce in there, and we're holding her. And this lady's walking behind. She's, "Slava dum de Louis." That means hallelujah or praise the Lord. And she just, you know, I mean, she's full of fire. We walk out, and they're having a meeting, and religious leaders in the other room. And of course, this object had blew up, you know, and they had debris all over. It blew up so hard, the tabletop it was sitting on blew up. And anyway, you know what they had nerve say? And they're supposed to be the leaders of the church? Just? Yeah, no, it was just, it was even a little bit worse than that. They said, now you made the devil mad. And I says, I don't remember what I said, but I had fun because I cast him out of the room. It wasn't my house. It was a big villa, you know, some big important guy that was in the Congress, or they call it the Parliament. I kicked him out. They don't have any right being there. I mean, they just belittled what God had done. See, if God can do that for them, God can do it for you. All right? And you just, you know what faith is? I know the Greek word in the New Testament is pistis. Doctor, you're a scholar more than I am. I'm just a horse and buggy preacher. But you remember the Hebrew word that parallels pistis? We got to check it out. But anyway, because I've done it before, but I can't remember the word. But anyway, it's translated in the Old Testament, amen, 7 times. Isn't that interesting? You know what amen means? No, it means let's eat. You know, everybody's holding hands around the table, and you thank God for the food, and you say amen, everybody digs in, right? That's so be it, too. But 7 times, which is an interesting number in itself. But then it's also translated trust. Now, think, in Proverbs it says, trust in your mind? No. Trust in your preacher? Trust in... That's what it is. Oh, thank you. Yeah, trust in the Lord occasionally with all your heart. Lean not to our own understanding. You know what happens when you lean? You get lazy. Right? See, when you lean to your own... No! You've been working all day. It's good for him to get out of that medical practice, isn't it? Lean not to our own understanding, okay? In all our ways. All. What does all mean? All. Oh, can't we make a doctrine out of that one? All. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path, sir. Not you. If he's Lord, you let him direct your path, right? See, so if that word trust in the Lord is the same as faith, we've heard all his teachings on faith, and we got so confused, and we're going, blah, blah, blah. Good Lord, how they could take... Of course the devil, because the three things is faith, hope, and love. Hebrews says without faith it's impossible to please him. Well, why would that be? Because without faith he can't give goodies. He's a loving father, okay? But if faith and trust is the same, and it is, didn't change from the Old Testament to the New Testament, the source and the power of having Christ in us, there's a lot of things that have changed, but the bottom line is that trust and faith is the same. So the issue is no longer, can I believe this? Did you hear me? The issue isn't whether you can believe it. Do you hear me? Hello? This is serious. It's not whether you can believe it or if you've been a good boy today. It's the issue is who are you trusting? False faith is when you're trusting in an object, you know, plastic Jesus on your dash or your job, your degree, right? But see, when it's on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you will just trust him, that's faith. Now, should I complicate that or should we keep it simple? Let's keep it simple, okay? Now let's look at some words that Jesus said. Go to John, and I better wrap this up pretty quick. I'm getting long-winded because I got tired driving all day. Okay. Yeah. I just got here. You ain't going to get rid of me. John chapter 14. I love the Gospel of John anyway, but in 14, just get a picture of this. Jesus is talking to these guys that were kind of like clowns sometimes. You know, they're fishermen, and and they were the uneducated, tax collectors, all kinds of things. He took the unlikely, just like David was made the king, the least likely of all those sons. See, God is good at that. But the thing about it is he's talking to these guys, and at this point, Jesus knows the end of his earthly ministry is coming quickly, and he's got to entrust this in these guys, and it's like, give me a break. You know, why don't you guys take these fishes and make a bunch? You know, you've seen it, you've been with me, but he didn't quit on them, and he's not quitting on you and me, okay? But anyway, he says in here, he says in verse 12, but read this whole context, it's wonderful, but it says, believe me that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. You know, I got called on the carpet. The Lord says, that's your verse, Carl. I got called on the carpet with the religious leadership of Bucharest. And they got offended that they had done several things. But one of them that they got offended was that they said, those baptisms, three of those people, you didn't baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. You baptized in Jesus' name. I said, so? And they said, well, why did you do that? I said, I didn't know I did. Well, yes, you did. That's well, hallelujah. I said, all I know is when I do things, I depend on God to put the words in my mouth. And that's the way you're supposed to. We do it. That's well, that's good. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is good. I generally do that. But if I'd done it in the name of Jesus, what is the difference? You know what I mean? Really, what is the difference? But see, they were trying to. And I was trying to reason with them. And then after just a minute, God, give me this verse. Is this your verse, Carl? Use it. And I grabbed my Bible, and I said, this is your answer, folks. And it says, he says, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is me, or else believe me for that very work's sake. I said, some of you that are criticizing me today have had family members be healed when we prayed for them. I said, don't you. I said, for the very work's sake, you judge me for that. Well, that shut them up pretty quick. They didn't mean they loved me, you know, but they... How can they love when they don't know the Father who is love? And yet they're heads of denominations. You'd be shocked if I told you which ones they are. I'm not going to tell you. These are the guys that are running the university that is ordaining ministers. Isn't that amazing? See, we got the same problem in every country. And Jesus had it back then. But he went on, see? And listen, he says, verily, verily, folks, he's not stuttering, okay? I think there's only seven times he said, verily, verily. And you could really make a powerful teaching just out of verily, verily. But he's big, like he's saying, hey, this is for absolute, for sure. That's kind of what he's saying, okay? But he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do because I go unto the Father. Folks, if that's not happening in your life, I'll show you where it's being missed, okay? And then you just ask God to forgive you and move forward. But he says, I say unto you that he that believeth on me. See, I get accused of having a healing ministry. Praise God, but I believe you all do. Well, got the same spirit, okay? Part of it is go make a fool out of yourself. But see, the key is if you believe in him, then the works that he does, you shall do also and greater. You know? Like I said, I've failed more times when people have died, getting them up, then success. But it isn't about me, see? It's the same thing. You know, you see somebody in a wheelchair, quit feeling sorry for them. Why don't you go offer them healing? Oh, but I got to get to Revelation. It's here. The Bible is Revelation. Do we believe that? This is the truth, folks. This is the call to us. Just before Jesus left and went to be with the Father, he said, signs, miracles, and wonders will follow those who believe, right? And then he went on and said some other wonderful things. That's what sent me all over the world. But he said, verily, verily, absolutely. In other words, this is a sure thing, guys. I say unto you that he that believes on me, not Carl, Jesus, okay? The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do because I go unto the Father. See, the key is, Jesus came on this earth. He was many things. But he definitely was a man. Got you leaning. But he definitely was a man, okay? and he was tempted like every man. That's how it works. But he came and he obeyed the Father. Jesus stayed in obedience. We have 1 John 1:9 that takes care of when, that's not really a salvation scripture because it's written to the born again. 1 John is written to the born again. But you can use it for salvation, okay? But it's really written to born again. And it says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that is the key issue, folks. So if you got a problem, take care of it and then get in there and go to work. See, that's the issue. And, you know, I remember when I first started praying for the sick, man, I didn't really believe it. I was afraid of what people would think. And I was flubbing things up. You know what? The Lord wouldn't let me off the hook. He kept pushing his scripture at me. You know, and he wouldn't tell me what I was missing. He says, you figure it out, Carl, you know, because I'm going to him and I'm crying and making excuses and saying, but God, if you don't heal him, it makes you look like you're a liar. And I tried to lay the blame on him, see? Adam tried that too. Do you notice that? He don't even answer those kind of statements. It's a good thing. But it's if we got to believe on him, see? And then he says, and whatsoever you ask in my name, in Jesus' name, that will I do, that the Father be glorified in the Son. The key is, folks, always give the glory to God. You know, people, you know, say, oh, I had somebody introduce me today. Oh, he's a healer. I said, where'd you get that stuff? You're Christian, so are you. Don't let people stroke you and pat you on the back. It's a trap. I've seen wonderful ministries go flat. You know, don't let people stroke you. Yeah, you do it. If you don't pray for that sick person, they may not be alive in 10 more minutes. See, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He said, you got to speak it. We started out with what we speak. See, we've got to work to where it's in our heart. And when the word gets in there and starts working, it pushes all the junk out. See, you can't pull it out. But if you get it in your heart, you keep talking about it. You do the healing. I'm sorry if this is a sacred cow, but I got my 30-06 out. God don't use you. Whoa, brother. Well, he doesn't. You know why? The devil uses you. You ever been used by the devil? God gives you the freedom of will to serve him. And if you will freely serve him, then he will energize you. He will strengthen you. He will prove him through you. Isn't that amazing? God takes totally unworthy people and puts his spirit in them. None of you earned his spirit. All right? I know I didn't. Okay? I talked about Carl. I know you didn't either. We don't earn it, see? It was freely given. It's ours. And when we stand before him, boy, I don't know if it'll happen, but I'd sure like to have him say, good job, son. I doubt it, because I know the Carl that I know better than anybody else. But just being there will be worth it. But see, if we don't obey and if we don't push ourselves past our head, our fears, you know, we don't have to stay in the bondage that the world has put us in. We do not have to stay in the bondage that comes from the sins of our forefathers that haven't been repented of. We don't have to, folks, okay? He who the Son sets free shall be what? Free indeed. That's God's word. That's God's word. But anyway, he says, you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, you know what ask means? Just like if I endorse a check and I hand it to the banker. That's legally called a demand. Demand of payment, isn't it? See, when you go, God makes a promise, and you ask, it's demanding the word to work. Oh, Carl, you can't demand of God. Well, that's not what I'm saying. We have a thief. Steal, kill, and destroy, right? The only reason we don't have all of God's goodness is because there's a thief. The Bible says, and it says it in yours too, go boldly before the throne of grace, right? Nothing wavering. You get all these religions. Oh, Lord, if I... You know, give me a break. You are worthy because Christ made you worthy. He changed you. When Christ came into you, you never will be the same again. You cannot be the same again. And the devil will do everything he can to try to convince you of it. He's a loser, and I like to tell him so. I'm not afraid of him. You know, someday I get to get up there and go like this. I'm going to do it just as much as I can while I'm alive. You know, we got eternal life, folks. Why are we holding back? You know, the Bible says be careful of nothing, right? Or it says be anxious for nothing, but you could look that easily could be also careful. God makes a promise, get reckless. Go after it. But what will people, who cares what people think? I probably got more people think I'm crazy than not. I don't know. I don't care. Because I can't live by your approval. If you love me, hallelujah. If you don't, maybe we can work it out. But you know what? God loves me. And he thinks I'm a good deal. He invested heavily in a guy that was his enemy. He's not asking me to be perfect. He's asking me to be faithful. All right? That's what he's asking for. He knows we're going to make mistakes. It's okay. That's relationship. See, deliverance is relationship. You know, you get delivered here. Hallelujah. Take that delivered person that you received back to the world as a testimony. Be like the lady that told everybody about her new liver. See, she was convinced of the goodness of God, so much so these kids could quit playing basketball. And you know how these big, tall kids play basketball. You did, didn't you? A big, tall kid, and you probably still like basketball, right? But this lady got right on the court. You know, funny little lady about 5 foot tall. Some of those guys are nearly twice her size. But see, we need to be that excited about our Father all the time. I'm talking to Carl, too, all right? Okay, and we need one another to do that. But anyway, got a little long-winded, but I love you. Thank you for bearing with me. Thank you, Glenn, for the invitation. Amazing. I always think, boy, I blew it this time. He'd never let me come back. But I'm willing to take that chance to speak the word. Amen. And that's the bottom line, see? Amen. And you're welcome because it comes from the Father. See, we got a big job ahead of us, folks. But we got a big God. And quit trying to figure out how you're going to do it. Because you can't, okay? Who are you? See, it's the Christ in us that brings us success. Amen? So, I am not traditional, but there's things I like to do sometimes. I like to pray on my feet. I like to pray for people that are on their feet. So would you all please rise? We're standing before the Lord, okay? I want you to just let loose of every fear, every failure. Please, I love you. Just let loose of it, okay? You know, we had wonderful praise tonight. And in spite of it coming out of my mouth, it was a wonderful message. All right? Just let loose and let the Lord work in you. And you don't have to go through a long process. He is a God of now, okay? So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we praise you. I praise you for these people, Father. I praise you for what you are doing in every life here. And, Father, I thank you that you've only yet to be really begin, that there's greater things ahead than we've ever seen in our past, in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Heavenly Father, for this. And God, we, without you, would be nothing. But because of you, we are all that you promised. And we are your sons. And we have been called. Our sin is paid for. And Father, we just thank you. And I'd like to have you all just repeat with me, okay? Heavenly Father, we love you. Forgive us for all the times that we made promises and didn't keep them. Father, you know we're going to do it again. But even so, you forgive us. And we thank you, Father, that we'll not be in this earthen fleshly body forever. But now, we are your sons and always will be. So, Father, in Jesus' name, set us free from this bondage. Let us loose. We thank you for your ministering angels. Fill this place, Father. Just bring them in. And greater is He that's in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, I can do all things. Not of myself, but through Christ who strengtheneth me. And I command the yoke of bondage to be broken. Infirmity, get out in the name of Jesus. Accusation, get out. We stand before you, Father, by your strength, by your love, grace, and mercy. And we depend on you. You are everything. You are eternal. And you have made us eternal. We ask for deliverance. This is that we can go out and deliver others. That we can be like Peter and say, such as I have, I give. We ask for deliverance so we can bring deliverance. And we thank you, Father, that your word is the truth. And I break the authority of these devils, these addictions, these lying devils. We break your authority and we bind you and cast you into the abyss. In the name of Jesus, you have no authority over us. We tell every religious devil, get out in the name of Jesus. Be gone. We bind you. You have no more authority on this earth. And your day of judgment is coming. You've been judged now. But your time will be forever. And we praise you, God, that we are greater than everything set against us. That the enemy is stopped. Give us the power to believe you. Help us in our unbelief. Teach us to be trusting. To be loving. And a people full of hope. Help us to get past our problems. I declare this night that my problems are no longer my God. No longer does ill health control my life. I break every curse of poverty, addiction, accusations, diagnosis, everything that's been set against me, this night, I take authority, in the name of Jesus. Satan, you are defeated. We're going to rise up. Whatever you throw at us, with God's grace and mercy, We are going to stand. We are no longer quitting. Because, Father, we ask for you to give us the strength to be what you called us to be. And we praise you, Father. We know, Father, that the enemy is defeated. Give us a picture of the defeat of our enemies. That we can see the truth of your word. Because your word is truth. And your Son is the word living. And you placed him within us. Lord Jesus, help me to make you Lord. No longer for these things to become Lord. I submit to you. I call you to be this very day to be my king. Help me to be a good servant. Give me that strength. Jesus, you said that we could do the works you did. We want to do those works. It starts first with obedience. Help us to obey. Give us victories. And help us to give you the glory in them. Father, we declare that this deliverance camp is not going to die. It's going to be there till the end. Men come and go. But your work lives. We submit this work to you, Father. And we bind every devil that's set against this ministry. Against this man. And against this man. And everybody that works here. I thank you for giving them the strength. In the name of Jesus, we claim victory. And we hold on to it. Help us, Father, to fight alongside each other. Not with. But, Father, we know our enemy. But we know that you are far greater. And because of what you put in us, we have the victory. And we declare that this camp grows, prospers, does the will of God, stays in the will of God, and submits to the Father. And we praise you, Father. God, you're so great. Father, there's things going on in their lives. I ask that as we sleep tonight, we all get our rest and we wake up a different person. We submit our lives to you as we rest. And we claim the restoration, the healing and deliverance that you promised. And we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is resurrected from the dead. And we have the authority to use that name and speak and do as he did. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.